Hello and welcome to Coffeehouse Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. This morning, the BBC released an extract from an upcoming Panorama programme, which will mark 6 months until the official conclusion of the UK's Brexit negotiations. In the programme, Theresa May, who was being interviewed by Nick Robinson, defended her Chequers deal against the recent attack it suffered from its most prominent critic.
Boris Johnson says this plan that you've agreed to on Ireland, it's a suicide belt around the British Constitution.
Well, first of all, I have to say, I think that choice of language was completely inappropriate. I've been Home Secretary, was Home Secretary for 6 years and as Prime Minister for 2 years now. I think using language like that was not right, and it's not language I would have used. But let's look at the argument about the issue in relation to Northern Ireland. The people of Northern Ireland deserve to be listened to in these negotiations by the UK government as people elsewhere in this country. I want to ensure that as we go forward, we have that strong union, that Northern Ireland is part of the United Kingdom, and it's important that we deliver for the people of Northern Ireland. They don't want a hard border between Northern Ireland and Ireland. The only proposal that's been put forward that delivers on them not having that hard border and ensures that we don't carve up the United Kingdom is the Chequers plan.
The Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, shaped the political weather by throwing his weight behind a people's vote on the UK's Brexit deal. Andrew Marr asked Khan to explain his sudden conversion.
Now, you are coming out today for a second referendum on the Brexit issue. Why?
Well, I've thought long and hard about this. I spent the last 2 years and 3 months working with the government to get the best deal from the European Union. I've met with the Brexit Secretary, David Davis, many, many times, the Prime Minister and others. I've given to the government, City Hall, advice and information. I've been to Brussels to meet with various EU presidents, officials, politicians, to explain to them how an extreme hard Brexit is bad for them too. And the reality is this, Andrew. We've now reached a position where there are two outcomes as a consequence of the government's negotiations. A bad deal, and by that I include us leaving the EU without knowing the terms of the future relationship, sort of blindfold Brexit, or no deal. And independent research undertaken for us shows that no deal would lead to 500,000 fewer jobs, 87,000 fewer jobs in London alone, and £50 billion less investment in our country. That's bad for our country, hugely damaging to London and our country.
So you're against Brexit, and that is familiar, but on the idea of a second referendum, you have changed your mind dramatically.
This is really important. You've not one of those advocating for a rerun. I'm not a referendum guy. What I'm saying is, for the first time ever,
we need
the British public should have a say on the outcome of the negotiations, including what the Prime Minister negotiates with the EU, plus the option of staying in the EU.
Let's just remind ourselves what you said after the first referendum on LBC. No going back. It would create cynicism and create rifts. What's changed?
And it's really important that this is not a rerun of the referendum, but the British public having a say for the first time on the outcome.
But it is a second referendum. Well, that's what it is.
But when the campaign was taking place, Boris Johnson said we could leave the EU and have access to the single market. Untrue. Liam Fox said this would be the easiest trade deal to be done in history. Untrue.
Marr was also joined by the Environment Secretary, Michael Gove. The last time that Gove appeared on Marr's show, he had appeared to be strongly in favour of the Prime Minister's Chequers plan. But this time, Gove hinted that nothing was forever.
Can I ask you, if that goes through, if it happens, if it's brought back and voted on, is that permanent or is it a temporary solution?
I think it's the right solution for this country to leave the European Union on the basis of what we've negotiated. The one thing,
permanent.
But there's one critical thing. A future Prime Minister could always choose to alter the relationship between Britain and the European Union. But the Chequers approach is the right one for now because we've got to make sure that we respect that vote and take advantage of the opportunities of being outside the European Union. This week,
so
as Environment Secretary, I think we need to put the focus on them.
To give a very concrete example, is the Common Rule Book something that we are going to be governed by in 10 or 15 years' time?
Well, we've said that the common rule book, the acquis, these existing regulations, we're prepared to accept, and they've been stable, they haven't changed over time, but we also have a democratic lock. It is up to the House of Commons in the future to chart this nation's destiny and to decide what it is that we want to do if EU law changes. And critically, there's one other thing. The bulk of our economy, as you know, is services, and that will be outside the common rule book. What we do is we have an approach which allows us to have goods moving freely into the European Union without tariffs and quotas, but at the same time we allow the growing part of our economy to be free of EU regulation.
So that's your real message to fellow Brexiteers, is you may hate the Chequers compromise, but don't worry, we'll be out in March and then we can do what we like.
Well, my message is we must ensure that we honour what the British people wanted us to do in that referendum vote, and that means leaving the European Union.
Sophie Ridge interviewed the Shadow International Trade Secretary Barry Gardner about Labour's Brexit policy. Ridge asked what Gardner thought of Sadiq Khan's call for a people's vote. Gardner was unimpressed.
Do you agree with him?
Look, actually, to have a second referendum would be to throw this government a lifeline. Here we have a Prime Minister who is facing going to Parliament with whatever she eventually manages to conclude with the European Union, and find that it is not possible to get it through the British Parliament. Well, in those circumstances, I think the right thing to do is to say, if this government cannot do what it is supposed to and govern, then we need actually to change the government. Calling for a second referendum is really giving her a lifeline, because then she can say, oh, well, if I can't get it through Parliament, I'll go back to the people. But what does she go back to the people on? Because this is not just a two-way question. You know, is it whatever she's managed to negotiate or no deal and we crash out? Or is it whatever she's managed to negotiate and we stay in the European Union? So it's not clear. Whoever writes the question manipulates the answer that they want to get. And of course, it will be this government that is writing the question. The first referendum caused real division in our society. I think the challenge now is actually to try and heal society. It's to take note of what was originally said by the British people in that referendum, but to do so in such a way that is protecting jobs and our economy and growth. Because many of the things that are now being talked of by the government as part of a possible deal were never talked on the doorstep.
And finally, as the Liberal Democrat Party conference gets underway in Brighton, Ridge put a harsh but fair question to Deputy Leader Jo Swinson.
There is a constituency of people who feel unrepresented in British politics, but many of those people feel that the Lib Dems are effectively a tainted brand. So is there an argument that the Lib Dems are effectively bed-blocking and preventing a new centrist party from emerging?
I don't think that's the case at all. I think, in fact, as Liberal Democrats, we've got the ingredients to be able to challenge the other parties. We've got the infrastructure of parties right across the country in terms of local associations, candidates, and the whole idea of a new centrist party gets talked about endlessly, but doesn't really get off the ground, not least because of the challenge of first-past-the-post voting systems and how difficult it is to set up new parties. But you don't need to set up a new party, because the Liberal Democrats are here, but we recognise the need that we have to change in order to make it easier for people that perhaps haven't looked at us before to look again at the Lib Dems and say, actually, you know what, this is the party that is going to provide the sanity to be the champion voice of liberal values and more radical solutions to the problems that Britain faces, rather than harking back to the past as the Conservatives and Labour are doing, whether that's harking back to an imperial past or the strife of the 1970s.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffeehouse Shots podcast on the iTunes store, and you can get a great deal on the magazine with 12 issues for just £12 and a free limited edition Spectator thermally insulated water bottle. Just visit spectator.co.uk/water. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to our daily Evening Blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/eveningblend. Thanks for listening, and do join us again next week.